Welcome to the Power Press Podcast. My name is Mackenzie Bennett, and I'm your host on this podcast. We share information to empower your podcast. Today's guest is someone most of you are probably familiar with, Mike Dell. He's part of our support team, so thanks for joining.
Hey, no problem. Every once in a while, I get to show my voice here.
I know. Well, yeah, you're on your podcast with Todd, and then sometimes I just want to bring someone in who seriously knows what they're talking about to talk about something in podcasting. So yeah. Nice to get you on here.
Well, thank you, and I enjoy it.
Good. We have two articles, and then I'm going to have you explain to people some things about RSS feeds, because there's just a lot of general misconceptions, I think, about RSS feeds. So I'm going to try to clear some of those up. But first article I wanted to talk about was this new Pandora development, in that Pandora is adding podcasts to their platform in a different way than they already have. And they're adding some companies that they're going to be accepting podcasts from that they can submit and then add to their platform. I don't know what that means for Pandora, but it's technically part of their podcast genome project.
Right. Yeah. The Pandora has done this thing called the Music Genome Project.
Yeah.
Which I also don't know a lot about. I'm not a Pandora user, but the whole idea is they're partnering with several podcast producers and at least one podcast hosting company to pick out some podcasts that would go well on the Pandora platform. Last I had heard, or what I'd read somewhere, and I don't know where that was somewhere around 400 or 450 podcasts out of the 500,000 plus out there. It's not a big deal yet, but just like with Spotify, it could turn into something.
It could. A couple years ago, I think it was the first season. It was either the first or the second season of Serial that was available on Pandora, because they partnered up with NPR, and now they're kind of just doing this on a broader scale than just that one show or whatever.
Right. You know, they're going to be partnering with, you know, Gimlet and quite a few others, and just to curate some podcasts across different genres and whatnot. And, like I said, who knows whether it'll turn into something where everybody can get on there, but that has a podcast. But for the time being, it's going to be sort of curated through a lot of these partnerships that they have. And be interesting. They're walking slowly. You know, they like to curate these things. You know, like I said, Serial, and I think there was one other podcast that was on there for, you know, the first year that they did anything with podcasting. And they've slowly added to that, and now they're going to add more. And like I said, last I heard, 400, 450 was their target.
So I'm just going to be honest. I haven't used Pandora in like a decade. I've never really been a fan of Pandora, simply because it was based on you pick a station and then they pick what they're playing for you. And I very much wanted to be in control, because I hated what they were offering me, like absolutely hated it, because I was like, I have such a broader expanse and knowledge and desire to listen to different types of music and like different artists and whatnot than Pandora was giving me. So I was like, I have better taste in music than they do. That was me on my high horse. So I don't know how they're going to fix that with podcasts.
Yeah, who knows? I think you can just pick what you want. You know, I think they're going for more of the Spotify model when it comes to how the podcast works.
But I think the podcast genome project that they're talking about is figuring out what people want to listen to for podcasts and kind of creating a better version of discoverability there, which makes sense overall and I think is a great initiative. However,
it's not for long-term listening.
No, it's really not. I feel like, and personally, I don't trust their music genome one, so why would I trust the podcast one? Because the one that they had before wasn't very good.
Yeah, like I said, I hadn't really used Pandora for music in a long time either. I'm more of a Spotify music person. Not my favorite podcast app, but that's just me. I'm more traditional. But Pandora, you know, I kind of like the idea of what they do. So, you know, if you like a certain thing, you know, you pick a, you know, say you want to listen to bluegrass, you pick a bluegrass song, and then it creates a station for you and tries to pick out stuff that sounds somewhat like what you picked. And that's all cool and all, but it tends to drift. And I'm wondering, you know, if you pick a podcast, say, you know, you wanted to listen to a podcast about technology, how far is that going to drift the third or fourth podcast in? You know, you're going to start listening to something about politics when you wanted to listen about technology. So, you know, I'm sure they'll do a better job than that, but who knows? It'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too, because, I mean, Spotify is similar in the sense of you kind of just discover a podcast on Spotify. You don't go there to listen to a specific one unless you know it's only available on Spotify scenario. At least that's the way I function. I'm sure a lot of people don't necessarily use it that way. I just don't know how it's going to happen with Pandora. I'm very curious to see how this works out.
You figure, you know, Pandora's got what, something like 80,000 users, or I forget what that was.
Oh, 76 million. Yeah.
Right, 76 million users. All U.S. And, you know, if that exposes people to podcasting for the first time, that's a worthy cause. Mm-hmm. But, you know, once they get the hang of it, they're going to probably find that, you know, it's better to, you know, use the podcast app on their iPhone or their Google Podcasts or, you know, one of the other podcast specific apps.
Right.
You know, once they figure out they like podcasting, you know, chances of people listening long term on Pandora or, you know, a few of the other apps, iHeart and Spotify, you know, I don't think there's a whole lot of people that do that, you know, as their primary listening thing for podcasts. But you never know. I'm sure there's plenty of people out there that do. So don't write me nasty emails or anything. But not one size fits all. That's the thing. So, you know, the more the merrier.
Yeah. Certainly trying to increase the number of people that actually listen to podcasts on a regular basis. That is for sure. So if this helps that, then.
Sure. And Pandora's, on a lot of car dashboards. And,
yes, it is.
What a place to listen to and discover podcasts than in your car, you know. A lot of people that are stuck in cars all the time get bored with the traditional radio or just music sometimes. I get sleepy when I listen to music in the car unless I'm trying to sing with it, and you don't want to be in the car with me when I do
probably
that.
Probably not.
So, you know, I have to listen to some, you know, talk content because, you know, I have to keep my brain engaged. Otherwise, I get sleepy. So, you know. Again, you know, one size does not fit all, but I think that'll be a good way for people to find it in the first place.
Yeah. So there's a lot of options, and potentially there's going to be a lot of new options on Pandora. This is another, actually, I didn't think about this before, but I wanted to bring you on to talk about RSS feeds. I don't even want to think about how the RSS feed function is going to work with Pandora and podcasts. That's a conversation for a different day. But I want to talk to you about what are some of the things that you see on like a day-to-day basis that people don't really understand about podcasts? Like, what are they super confused about or just don't even know at all?
Well, it's not that they don't know. It's people don't understand, you know, just the basic, how it all works. Mm-hmm. And the main thing that way back in the day, I sound like an old guy, way back in the day, when podcasting was just getting started, there was a thing called RSS, and that was mainly for syndicating blog content. And that was written content, and you had these things called feed readers that you could subscribe to, you know, 10 different websites, and then you just had this one app on your computer. It wasn't a phone app because that didn't exist then.
Yeah.
But, you know, you had an application on your computer that was a feed reader or a web page that was a feed reader that would aggregate all these different textual things. And you had, like, you know, kind of your own newspaper. It's really how it worked. Well, along come Adam Curry and Dave Weiner, guy behind a lot of the RSS stuff. Mm-hmm. And they added what was called an enclosure to the RSS spec, which means you could attach a file to an item in an RSS feed. Or blog post, basically. And that's how podcasting was born. So, you know, you could attach an MP3 file. And originally, podcasting the whole thing with it is it's syndication. It's not, we're not pushing anything. When you have an RSS feed, you create that RSS feed by making a blog post. And regardless of whether you're using Blueberry and WordPress, you know, no matter what platform you're on, you're making essentially a blog post. Mm-hmm. And then you're attaching a piece of media to it, you know, video, audio, whatever. And that becomes an item in the feed. And your feed just sits there on the server. It's just a file, or, you know, in the case of WordPress, it generates it as people hit it. That's way too geeky, but
yes, it is.
Yeah, but anyway, basically, its RSS feed is just sitting there. It's a file.
It's and, a collection of files, though.
Well, it's the RSS feed itself is one file.
Yeah,
and then it links to multiple files. So if you have 10 episodes in your feed, it links to 10 different episodes via that enclosure. Mm-hmm. But the whole idea is the thing is sitting there static. It's not pushed to anywhere. And all these places, so if you submit your show to Apple Podcasts, or formerly known as iTunes, iTunes or Apple Podcasts comes around every so often and pulls that RSS feed. And that's what they put in their directory. And all your subscribers, when they subscribe to you, subscribe directly to that feed, wherever that is. So if your feed is on your website, they subscribe to your website. They might be using Apple software, but they're subscribing directly to your feed. Mm-hmm. So when you put out an episode, their thing comes around and, hey, there's a new episode. There's a new item in the RSS feed. Let's download it. And it downloads it in the background, and then, or at least that's how most of them work. And then you can listen to it whenever you want. I liken it to, you know, a transmitter for a radio station. You know, if you listen to FM radio, you know, and your favorite channel is 95.1, okay, everybody that listens to your radio station or listens to that radio station tunes their radio to 95.1. Well, the RSS feed is just your 95.1. It's your frequency. So if they want to listen to your podcast, they tune to that. It pulls them in as you put them out. And that's how the subscription part works. But it's there's no push in podcasting. Every day I get people say, I just published my episode and it's not on Apple yet. It's because Apple hasn't come around and pulled it yet. It's not because we didn't push it or something is wrong. It's just there's a time delay because it's a pull technology rather than a push technology. Like if you think of a push technology is like your notifications on your phone. Mm-hmm. You know, that somebody can push a notification to you, you know, like say, you know, a weather app.
Right.
It pushes a notification to you saying it's going to thunderstorm soon, you know, take cover, whatever. Well, podcasting works the opposite. The app on the phone goes out and says, hey, is there anything new? And if there is, then it notifies you that there's something new.
I think that part right there is what gets so many people is because compared to everything else that we're so used to, this is the opposite. Of course, we would assume it's going to work the same.
Yeah, it's completely backwards.
Yeah.
And there's nothing we can do about it. That's how it works.
That's the thing. We can't control when these different directories, these different platforms are going to do anything.
Right. You know, like, you know, we get a lot of tech support calls and emails and tickets and whatnot. And it's, you know, this directory doesn't have my latest episode. That directory doesn't have my latest episode. And I always tell people, subscribe to your own podcast, either on the Apple app or whatever app you use, with some notable exceptions. They all work that way. And I'll give you the exceptions. But most podcasting apps, you're subscribed to the RSS feed directly. Mm-hmm. And if you put out your episode, sometime within the first hour, you're going to get a notification on your phone saying that your episode's available. If that happens, don't worry about what the directories have.
Yeah, that's
they'll catch up.
That's the confusion.
Yeah.
For me, before I started working here, I thought I was subscribed to something. Or I just never thought about it.
Yeah.
I thought everything lived in the app. Right. I didn't realize that I was technically subscribed to something through an app. I just was like, yeah, I just do it all through that.
Right. And you know, like I said, the exceptions to that rule are like Stitcher. Stitcher is an app on both phone platforms, mm-hmm, that does, you know, until it's listed at Stitcher, you can't listen to it. It doesn't download. It's a stream. Spotify. Yeah, Spotify. If you are subscribed or following a show in Spotify, until Spotify pulls that into their platform, you can't play it on Spotify. But on Apple or Google Podcasts or Overcast or Pocket Casts or any of those things.
Traditional podcast directories.
Yeah, traditional apps and directories.
That's basically the only thing that they do.
Yeah, and like I said, if you go to Apple Podcasts, you know, you put out your episode, you go to Apple Podcasts right away, it's, you know, that episode's not going to be there. But if you hit the subscribe button, guess what episode you're going to get? You're going to get the last one you've just published because you're not subscribing to anything at Apple.
I know, but it's worrisome for people.
Oh, it certainly is. And like I said, my phone rings off the hook, especially when Apple has a delay. Well, that happens sometimes.
I know. And I feel like it worries people because it's the possibility of someone discovering their show and not getting the latest stuff or not seeing the latest episode, which might draw them in or something like that.
Sure, sure. And, you know, but then again, you know, this is how it works. And the best way to keep yourself sane is subscribe to your own show in either Apple or Google Podcasts. And when you put out an episode, fairly quickly, you'll get that episode. And if that happens, everything else will come along.
So do you ever see the functionality of RSS feed changing?
Not anytime soon, because, you know, so much of the whole industry is built on how that works.
It is.
You know, now you got places like Spotify. And Spotify, by the way, there's something coming with them that's going to change how they work. But we'll announce that when we know more about it. Right now, Spotify downloads one episode from your feed and then distributes that to all the listeners that listen on Spotify. So that you are actually subscribing to something that is at Spotify.
Yes.
Like, you know, you would think it would work on all the other apps, but it doesn't work that way.
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying is it's certainly not in the near future. But given the way that that we all have data and internet speeds, podcasting will kind of transition over to streaming.
I don't think the download is going to go away completely.
It never will, but it will probably make some type of transition into a much larger portion of streaming.
Yeah, and it already has. I mean, you can set your iPhone app to not download shows that you've subscribed to, and then when you hit play, it's downloads as it plays. It's not a true stream.
Yeah.
It downloads as it plays. And I don't think that's ever going to go away because, you know, I look at it right now, at least, there are areas of the country and of the world that don't have a reliable high-speed internet everywhere.
Eventually, will we need an RSS feed for podcasting?
I don't know about RSS is the only way of delivering it, but I think that'll still be one of the ways.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You know, there may be something, you know, right now, okay, if you want to do a audio show, then you could upload that to your website or have an app that's specific to that audio show that doesn't have anything to do with RSS. You can already do that. Mm-hmm. It's just podcasting itself is, you know, right now the definition is basically serialized content delivered via RSS feed.
Right.
So if that changes ever, then that could change. But then again, it could just be something else. A lot of radio stations, when podcasting first got popular enough so that people knew what the word was, would say, yeah, come to our website and get our podcast. Well, you go to their website and it's really just audio sitting on a website. They didn't have an RSS feed. It wasn't really a podcast. They just called it that because it was downloadable audio on the internet. Mm-hmm. Well, you can already do that. You could do that all along. So, and, you know, people could come up with some other platform, but right now the standard is RSS.
I don't know.
You know, and you know, even Spotify and Pandora, when they, you know, get all online and, you know, and all these places like that, they're still getting the content from an RSS feed. They're just not using the RSS feed to deliver that content to the end user.
Yes.
But they are getting the content via RSS.
The RSS feed is important to the podcaster. It's not to the listener, though.
Well, no, it's just the back end technology.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, radio waves aren't important to the person listening to the radio. They just want to listen to whatever's coming across, you know, and the electromagnetic force that's causing that to happen, they don't care about that. Mm-hmm. You know, so same idea with the RSS. It's just something in the background.
Yeah. So, I think we're all used to platforms at this point.
Yeah, and you know, but the driving force behind it is still RSS. You know, it's just like when you turn on your light, electricity caused that. So RSS is the electricity of podcasting.
That's not a bad way to think about it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just, we don't care. You know, the average listener could care less what RSS means.
Yeah, no, I don't.
The podcaster should at least know a little bit about it. But, you know, they don't have to be an expert at it.
I couldn't care less about the screwed up, messed up wires that my landlord facilitated in my house. I just get annoyed when my light doesn't turn on.
There you go. And that's the, you know, just think of, you know, RSS is sort of the backbone of how the stuff works. And, you know, it may change, it may not in the future, but needless to say, you know, the average listener doesn't care. The average podcaster, once they get it set up, probably shouldn't care.
So the average podcaster that wants to get it set up, what would you recommend to someone that is just trying to start out and get their show going? And like, what are the best practices for starting a show concerning an RSS feed?
Well, you know, of course, with Blueberry, and if you guys listen to your podcast, the companion podcast to this one, Todd and I are always talking about own your own platform. So do your RSS feed from a website that you own. You know, PowerPress and WordPress are probably the best way I know of to do it. Mm-hmm. The RSS feed, even though you don't really need to know how it works, really, you don't really need to know much about it. But man, it's really important that you own it, because if you don't own that, say you're on a platform where the RSS feed comes from a domain name that you have nothing to do with, and that company goes out of business, which has happened a lot in the past, You're just done. You've lost your connection to your listeners. Now, if they're, you know, avid listeners and you spin up something somewhere else, they'll find you eventually.
Right.
But you know, people are lazy. You know, if they stop getting your podcast, they might just say, I wonder what happened, and they forget about you. So it's really important to keep that link to your listeners through that RSS feed. And so own that. You know, come to my website. We have all the options. And, you know, I'm on Apple, and I list them off. I'm on Apple, I'm on Google, I'm on Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, I go through that whole litany. And the other thing is it's branding. You know, it's like, you know, PowerPress Podcast is the brand of this podcast. Okay, if somebody's an avid listener of this podcast and they somehow lose contact with us somehow, okay, they're going to know, oh, well, yeah, we've said powerpresspodcast.com over and over and over again. So they're just going to eventually, if they're interested, they're going to go back and they've still got that connection. Even if, say something weird happened and we got kicked off of Apple Podcasts.
Right.
Which has happened a lot. And that's a whole other ball of worms. That's
another thing going on lately.
Right. But if we got kicked off of Apple and, you know, they just know that, you know, because we've talked about it a lot, you know, come to the website, you know, that's a branding thing. So they won't lose connection with you, being that podcasting is a pull technology and not a push. We can't force anything on them. So right. If we lose contact with them, they got to come to us. And what a better place to come than a website player right there. There's a whole bunch of subscribe links right there. Everything, you know, hey, I've got Spotify, I'll click that. Or, hey, I've got an Apple phone, I'll click that. And those that already know how to do podcasting will already have their preferred app, and they'll just go there, as long as you're everywhere. But the single best place to send somebody is your website, as long as you have all the links to all the places that your podcast is available.
Why else should someone go to your website besides the subscribing option?
Well, it depends on the website. You know, in the case of Todd's podcast, Geek News Central, he has a lot of written articles there, in addition to the podcast that's there. Mm-hmm. I don't do that as much on my sites, but, PowerPress Podcast. The reason you want to go to PowerPressPodcast.com is because we have a lot of written articles, not just the podcasts that are over there.
Yes. Yes, we do. So,
yet another reason to send people to your website.
What are the top five directories that people should submit to, regardless?
Okay, obviously Apple, Google Podcasts, and that's not really a submit. That's get your site into Google search. Another reason to have a website. Let's see, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Spotify, I guess, would be a good one. Well, in my particular case, every podcast that I have anything to do with, Spotify is a very, very, very low percentage.
So regardless of the total downloads.
General, I would say, out of the five, Spotify would be the fifth.
Why?
Because it's the least potential for downloads, right now. Getting it in Apple, and I'll tell you why, because getting it in Apple gets you on a whole bunch of other third-party apps. Mm-hmm. So that pretty much covers you on Android, on a bunch of other iPhone apps, and whatever. Mm-hmm. So Apple's, that's the 800-pound gorilla. They're 50%-ish of the podcasting listenership comes from Apple Podcasts.
Right.
Google Podcasts, I predict by the end of the year, is going to be making a huge, huge inroads in that market share.
By the end of 2019?
Yeah, by the end of 2019, I predict it's going to be close to 50-50 between Apple and Google.
Crap.
Okay. I may be wrong, but that's my prediction. Stitcher's good because there's still a lot of people that do Stitcher. Mm-hmm. TuneIn Radio is really good because that gets you on all the smart speakers. The Google Home device, the Amazon device. It gets you in there to where, if you want to listen to this podcast, you say whatever your device name is. Play the latest episode of PowerPress Podcast, and chances are it'll play it.
Okay.
So you don't, and that's through TuneIn Radio. And then Spotify, of course, just because that's the next biggest one, I guess, out of that bunch, their biggest potential.
So that's why you put it last.
Yeah. The thing with Spotify, right now is the experience isn't as good as other apps, in my humble opinion, and it is just my opinion. And and I find that on my podcast in particular, and anything that I've had anything to do with, I get, say I get 1,000 downloads on a podcast, one or two downloads will be from Spotify. Mm-hmm. And all the rest will be on all the other platforms. So it's not a high percentage thing. Now, it might be great for discovery. And the potential's there, so it's good to be there.
Do you know the numbers for Spotify overall, or just your experience?
This is just my experience. We haven't really done a thing, at the company that says what the percentage is. And if you listen to some other companies out there in the space, they say it's the number two platform. I don't believe that.
Well, no, they're saying it's the number two platform for people that have their show on Spotify.
Right, but I
not it's the number that. Two platform in general, but for people that have their show on that platform, it's now becoming number two very quickly for a lot of people.
Right, on that particular company's platform, because they don't do subscribe on Android. Subscribe on Android, if you look at Blueberry's platform, subscribe on Android is probably number two in our platform for those that use that link. I don't know that for a fact, but that's what I'm gathering.
Yeah, that doesn't really seem to correlate very much to me.
Well, it's the same idea. If you don't have a subscribe on Android link, then your percentage of that is going to be low.
Okay, but I'm asking of directories that people should be submitting to and partaking in. And
right. And like I said, Apple, Google, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Spotify.
I would very much like for Blueberry to get some numbers out about Spotify.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually bugged Todd about that the other day.
Because I'd be very curious to see what the results are for people.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be that dramatic. But I mean, there are different people. I mean, different shows do well on Spotify. The shows that I do or have anything to do with generally would probably not be top performers on Spotify just due to the subject matter. And, it does skew a little younger for people that use Spotify to listen to podcasts. It just does.
It does.
Who wants to listen to two old guys talk about podcasting, you know? On Spotify, I mean.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's just the way it is. And I still, you know, like I said, I think it's good to be as everywhere as you can be. Nothing wrong with that. It's, you know, you never know where someone's going to come in at. But then again, you know, to put so much emphasis on one platform over another is, it's never good no matter which platform it is.
Okay.
That makes sense?
No, I mean, it makes sense. But the reason I ask is because I want to know what the reasoning is behind, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of what they actually are. And right. I want there to be data behind that.
Well, I don't have the data right off the top of my head.
That's what I want. I want data-driven reasons just why.
Just from all, and I listen, I look at a lot of people's stats, especially a lot of people that are on Spotify, because that seems to be a really high percentage of people that contact me or contacting me about something going on at Spotify. So, and I have not seen anybody that has a significant percentage of their total downloads coming from Spotify or total listens. I guess they measure listens. The rest of the world measures downloads. So that's even a difference there.
That I think is going to be an issue later on as well, as it transitions over to just listening a lot more often.
Right. And, you know, that makes sense. I have not seen anybody that has a significant percentage of their downloads coming from Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying there isn't a show out there that is that way. In fact, I have I just as an experiment have a show that's only on Spotify. I'm curious to see what kind of traction I get with it.
Well, are you promoting it at all?
I'm promoting it on Spotify, yes.
Are you promoting it anywhere else?
Well, sort of, yeah.
I mean, then that's going to give you somewhat of a...
Sure, but I really want to see is, are people going to find it on Spotify naturally? You know, it's just like, you know, if you put something up on Apple, are people actually going to find it? You know, just because you're on Apple? No, probably not.
Oh, Futuro Media is picking participants for a podcast training program that they're doing, and they're focusing all on women of color, which is fantastic. That's not what I want to talk about. I do love to talk about that, but that's not the part I care about today. I want to know if we were going to do one ourselves, what would we teach people how to do in our own training program? Like if Blueberry was doing one.
Well, I'm not the one to talk about content, but that would be one thing that you'd want to do is teach people how to do the actual production.
Absolutely.
You know, which, you know, there's, you know, we don't really do that here either. You know, I don't, you know, help you, you know, with your mic technique. I helped you, but.
Yeah. but I don't, you're I don't not helping help, our customers.
Yeah, I don't help the customers on mic technique usually.
No.
Or how to set their mixer up, even if they have a mixer, I don't care.
No, you did not FaceTime with everyone like you did with me to get this setup all configured.
Exactly, but in general, you know, that's something that is lacking out there. You know, as far as you know, actual production, you know, actual recording. You know, I don't know how many times in a month I get somebody that uploaded a WAV file to their thing, and it's like. Well, nobody's out there telling people that WAV files don't work. They just think audio, WAV's an audio.
Yep.
And you know, it would work if everybody had like super high speed internet, but.
I'm not trying to download a huge file for 30 minute podcast.
Yeah, WAV files for 30 minutes would be, you know, somewhere in the half a gigabyte.
Yeah, it's big.
It's huge. And you don't want to do that. You know, the other thing is, you know, content, you know, like I'm not really good at that. I muddle along, but you know, as far as, you know, just organizing what you want to talk about, you know, that's something that's a skill, or, you know, some people are naturals at it and some people aren't.
I mean, you can get good at it. That's for sure.
Right. You know, as far as all the techie geeky stuff, we beat that to death all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the techie geeky stuff, we can, you know, any podcast company that you might be with can help you with that, you know. But as far as, you know, having a training class, I think it's more on the production and content end that would be of more use to a lot of people.
So to get someone like who's never done this, never has any, like has no idea what to do. They just know like, cool, podcasts have good content. What do you like, what are the, some of the main things? Cause I would think like we should, like someone should teach them how to format the content, come up with a story, come up with how they want to do that. You know, like we were talking about the content and then the techie side of getting the podcast RSS feed thing up and running. And then I also think like, how do you like tell people about your podcast and like get people to listen? I think that should be part.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Marketing. I really think that should be part.
Yeah. Marketing's a thing too. You know, and, you know, I'm particularly good at the tech.
Yeah.
You know, not super good at all the rest of the stuff. I mean, I do all right. You know, it's not my specialty. So, you know, if I were teaching a class, it'd be about the tech. Mm-hmm. But if we as a company were going to do something like that, we would definitely have to have somebody come in that knows marketing, have someone come in that knows production, some, you know, so on and so forth.
Yep.
You know, but there's a lot of pieces to it. You know, think of, you know, if you're a podcaster, especially an independent podcaster, you know, you're doing it next to the water heater down in the basement. You're everything. You're the sales guy, sales gal. You're the producer. You're the talent. You're the engineer. You're, you know, everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a lot of skills there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that would, you know, but, you know, the thing that I see lacking the most is production, you know, as far as, you know, something that we don't do here.
Right.
Is, you know, production. Because I, you know.
I won't listen to a bad show.
Right. I can get, you know, I can get your RSS feed looking spectacular and get you on all these platforms and everything else. And if your audio sounds like crap, well, it's not good.
No. I mean, if your audio sounds like crap, I'm not going to listen. So,
right.
Big part of it. Yeah. There's quite a few steps there. There's a reason there are things like these podcast training programs and boot camps and whatnot. So
sure. And there's different aspects to all of it. So maybe not one person is going to teach you the whole thing.
No, I don't. I think that would be a bad idea. I don't think there is one person that encompasses all of those things well enough that they should necessarily be training someone.
Right. You know, and some people are just lousy teachers too. So.
Oh, very true. Like,
you never know.
That's the thing. So overall, they're helpful. So, okay. Thank you everyone for listening. Thank you, Mike, for being on and joining me.
Oh yeah. It was a great conversation.
Thank you. All right. Everyone stick around for the PowerPress tip and I'll see you next time. Thank you.
This is Sean Thorpe from the Blueberry Support Team with this week's PowerPress tip. We first looked at the Destinations tab within PowerPress settings in late 2017. Some changes were recently made to this section of PowerPress, so I thought now would be a good time to revisit Destinations. This tab is the place in PowerPress settings where you can link to syndication points like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. Once you add links to the Destinations tab, those links will show up on your website underneath your media player or on your subscribe page, depending on how you have your site set up. Most of what's in the Destinations tab is fairly self-explanatory. The Apple, Blueberry, TuneIn, and Stitcher fields were there the last time we covered Destinations. Simply add the URLs to your show's listings on those platforms to the appropriate fields. The Spotify field is new and it works the same way as the other fields mentioned so far. Just add the URL to your show's Spotify listing to this field. A noticeable change is what's happened with Google. There used to be a field here for your show's listing on Google Play Music, but that's been replaced with the URL to your show's listing on the Google Podcasts app. Google Podcasts uses a set protocol for its show URLs, so PowerPress can actually guess the URL to your show's listing in Google Podcasts even before your show has been added to Google Podcasts. By default, PowerPress will add that URL to your settings. If, for whatever reason, you need to use a different Google Podcasts URL, check the Modify box next to the Google Listing URL field and add your preferred URL to the field in place of the one automatically generated by PowerPress. Click the Save Changes button at the bottom of the page to save your Destinations tab settings. Now PowerPress will begin to display links to those syndication points on your website. And that's it for this week's PowerPress tip. If you have any questions about this or anything else in the Blueberry universe, email me, Sean@blueberry.com. Until next time, thanks for listening.